Okay, so I'm going to start off. Did you guys need to record that in the back? Or okay. This one is about SQL Azure Federations. And so sometimes you'll start with an Azure class, and the whole thing of the class is, well, this you can't do in Azure, this you can't do in Azure, this you can't do in Azure. Federations is actually a feature that you can only do in Azure, and you can't do in regular SQL Server. They don't have it in regular SQL Server. So I'm going to talk about federations. It's pretty new. I believe they put it in December timeframe. And it's the way to scale out. You guys know who I am, right? Okay. There. So I'm going to go over the motivation of it, how to design for federation, because there is a specific way to design for federation. How do you create a federation, and we'll run some DDL. I was so paranoid about the web that I actually recorded the DDL just in case there wasn't web or it wasn't good connectivity or something. It's fine. So we'll do it live. Programming federations in ADO.NET, it's okay. In Entity Framework, it's sort of a kludge. So I'll talk about how to program federations and the Entity Framework specific considerations, because basically you have to issue DDL in, you know, like a use statement in your ADO.NET program. ADO.NET, this is fine. Entity Framework, it's like, where do I find the connection to run this thing on? So this is the marketing part of the slide. And I couldn't do the marketing part better than they did, so I copied their slide. Basically, it's designed for elastic scale. It's designed so you can, there's supposedly their big use cases, there's a company that sells tickets to events. And when they're selling a lot of tickets, they need a lot of disk space. But they only need that space for a couple of hours. And then when the big ticket rush is over and they've sold the tickets, they push in all the data and they get rid of all the federation members that they have. So it's a way to expand from one database to five databases to 10 databases right away. And you can do it on the fly, although there are some interesting repercussions when you do it on the fly. So the idea is that you can scale out to multiple instances when you need the multiple instances. You don't need the multiple instances, you can call them all back. You can scale it all back to one. And it just looks the same whether you've scaled it out or not. Unlimited, that means scalability to them. And this was a big deal, too, because one of the things that people didn't like about SQL Azure originally was that you could only have a database, I believe, that was 50 gigabytes large. That was your biggest database at 50 gigabytes. And you don't think that that seems like, you know, might be all right for a departmental application. But when I was teaching people at Microsoft, they're like, 50 gigabytes? Can I leave now? You know, that's not even going to be close to enough. So anyway, 50 gigabytes, but you can scale it now to, I think it's 32,000 federation members, whatever the integer equivalent of 32,000 something federation members, minus one. And so you should be able to get that much storage out of SQL Azure. And simplified multi-tenancy. It turns out the big people that were interested in this that I've taught so far were the Dynamics people, because the Dynamics people actually host Dynamics Online, and they wanted to have one federation member for each tenant, and their program was really already set up to use federations. So that was fine for them. So just some related terms and technologies, because they have their own terminology that goes along with it. So people call federations NoSQL. I think that's a mistake, right? I don't know that much about NoSQL, but I know that it's not federations, right? They use SQL in federations, and yes, you may be able to scale out, and yes, you may be able to do the equivalent of MapReduce, but MapReduce is about as good as it gets. Everybody's heard of the MapReduce thing. If you were at Gert's talk yesterday, you probably did, where you have one part of the procedure called map, which takes all the data in from all the nodes, and then another part called reduce. So if you need to do the average of a bunch of rows, you get the bunch of rows in sometimes on your local machine, and then you do the reduce step, which to average them on your local machine. So it's one way to be able to scale out, and that's what Hadoop uses, is MapReduce. So you can do MapReduce with federations, and that's about as close as NoSQL as it comes. However, I like to use an older term for it, which doesn't upset anybody, right? NoSQL sometimes upsets people, which is called data-dependent routing. Data-dependent routing, or data-directed routing, was just a way, when you wanted to scale out web servers with databases in the back of them, that you had a copy of the database on every associated with every web server. You had a bunch of different web servers and database combinations, and everybody would just pull from their own copy of the database. The problem is keeping that stuff in sync. And where do you put the new people that come in? Where do you put the new rows that come in? So data-directed routing is a really old term, and I think it really applies to federations. So it's basically a scale-out thing rather than a scale-up thing. SQL Server can always do fairly well at scale-up. It's scale-out that they fall down on. Right, you just can't add another node and it just comes right into the pack and uses part of the resources and you're all set. That's what federations is supposed to do. And it's similar to partitioning, the closest thing that regular SQL people would think of when they think of federations is partitioning. In fact, I was talking before about the federation example I was doing with spatial data, and one of the things I said to these guys to start thinking in terms of federations was, take your big table, your 3.5 million row table with whales on it, and take it and divide it up into two tables, and just put those two tables in the same database and query them separately. That's really federations, right? Now, imagine that those two tables are on separate databases and they can't talk to each other. You can't do a join between those two tables because those two tables aren't on the same database. That's really what the difference between federations and partitioning is. Partitioning, SQL Server has an automatic way to allow you to do a query over all the partitions. Whereas in federations, there is no automatic way. They just don't talk to each other. In fact, just to sort of cut to the chase, when we get to ADO.NET, we're talking about moving things into the data set and querying things from there. So like you move things into the data set one federation member at a time. Federation is also known as sharding. That's the cool, sexy term for it, right, that everybody likes, sharding. Okay, so sharding is okay too. And by the way, it's NoSQL sort of. It has MapReduce patterns, but of course it uses SQL. Every federation member uses SQL. The premise is that they just can't talk to each other. And in Azure, you said you've done Azure before. In Azure, there is no use statement to move between databases. There is no communication between databases because in Azure, if you have database 1, 2, and 3, you're pretty sure that they're not even going to be on the same instance. Database 1 is going to be on some instance over here, 2 is going to be on some instance over there, and 3 is going to be on a different one. And if you said use, they wouldn't know what to use. They wouldn't know where to go. So these are really shards that can't talk to each other at this point in time. Okay, definitions, and then we'll go on, I swear. So a federation is basically a database object inside of a database. When you say create federation, what it will actually do is create a database object, and you can query federations. There's a sys federations metadata table. And basically a federation definition just consists of a name for the federation and a federation key. And there's a couple of data types that federation key can be, and that's really all it is. That's a federation object. And the federation object lives in a federation root. So, you know, maybe it's just me, or maybe it's just early. Rather than to go through all the terms and all that stuff, let's just see it. And then we'll go back and we'll see the terms, and it'll be obvious what the terms mean. Okay. Maybe I'm just let's go see it guy, right? Here's some DDL. All right, so I'm connecting to my SQL Azure database. And by the way, it might be slow. It's in the middle of the US someplace. And there's my SQL Azure database right here. I'm connecting right now. I'm trying to connect to a database called Demo, but there's no Demo database up there. In fact, let's go to the Azure portal. So here's the Azure portal, nicely primed so it comes up. Let's just go to the Azure portal directly just from here. So we'll bring up windows.azure.com if you haven't seen this before. And basically what happens is it usually prompts you for your live ID, which I've already said for it to save my live ID. And then it comes up with your Azure accounts, and I only have one right now. It's actually a pay account. I have to pay for this. These databases cost me 65 cents a database, you know, until I start putting data in there. And eventually somehow, he said, the portal will come up. There it is. It's Silverlight, so it takes a while. Did I say that? It's Silverlight, so it comes up fast. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Well, you can, right, the GUI sort of draws attention to itself, right? Oh, I'm about 50% done. Oh, I'm about 25% done. You know, it's like, really? Okay, don't tell me, you know. Just let me guess. Okay, so there's a database node over here, so I can go look at the database stuff. There's also a sync and a reporting services. We'll just go to database. Okay. So database refreshes, and it has my subscriptions. Here's my only subscription in the world. And there's my, and all you get for when you get a subscription is just a master database. So I have a master database, it's 5 gigabyte database, you don't ever put anything in master. So what I'm going to do is, the first thing is make a new database to serve as the federation root. This database really isn't going to have anything in it, but afterwards we're going to talk about designing federations and you'd see what you'd put in this root. So let's go and we'll connect. It thinks it's going to connect to demo, but when it fails, it connects back to master. There you go. So we're connected to master now. So I'm going to create a database called MyFedDB because I have no imagination whatsoever. And we'll create that database. That's my federation root. There we go. So now I have a database, empty database out there, 1 gigabyte database, and what I want to do is I want to put a federation in it. But first I actually have to connect to the database, because right now I'm in master, and there's no way to just do a use in Azure, so we'll connect back up again, and for options I'll put in my FedDB. There we go. And we'll connect over here. And that'll connect up to it. Now also there's some magic to be said about how this actually looks in Object Explorer, so maybe, there we go. We'll put up Object Explorer on the side and we can look at that, and I have the, yeah, okay, that's working, good. All right, so empty database so far, so let's create a federation. Now when you create a federation, the first thing you have to do is create a federation with a federation key. Federation has a name, it's customer federation, and the federation has a key, which is CID. And basically what the rule is of federations is that customer ID has to be part of, or the whole thing of, a primary key in every federated table. So if I have a customer federation, and I have a customer ID in the customer table, that would be the federation key. That's fine. And maybe I have a customer address, and that customer address could even be kludged up to have a customer ID in it. And that would be fine. And I could even take my order table, and I could make that have a customer ID in it, and that would be okay. And even go as far as order details, and that could have a customer ID in it, and that would be all right. But the first question I asked when they told me about this is, okay, that's the obvious ones. What do you do with the products table? Because the products table isn't going to have no customer ID in it. I'm real sorry, but it won't. And so they said, well, yes, that's the whole joy of federations. You have to figure out what to federate and which federations to put things in. And it's like, and you mean to say if I don't put it in the federation, I can't do a join between customers and products? And they said no. And I said, then there's a big trick to designing for federations, and of course there is. But let's just go through the obvious DDL stuff first, and then we'll go over how to design things. This is different. Like I said, because you can't communicate between the federation members, this is different than you're used to. So we're going to create a federation called Customer Federation. Whatever the key is will be called CID, and we'll see how we do it in the table definition. There's about 4 choices of data type for key, and there's what's called a range algorithm to allocate your key. The range algorithm right now is the only one that you can use. You just make a range from minus whatever to, you know, from the top level to the bottom level to the top level of whatever your data type is, and they'll just choose something in that range. Or the point is you choose something in that range. But they are going to have hash algorithm later on and a couple of other algorithms to be able to allocate new people. And we've decided that the federation key here is going to be bigint. So this bigint, which is the customer ID, is going to have to appear in every table. So there we go. Now it takes a while. There. So we're still in the root right now. We're in the federation root. But you can also specifically get into the federation root by saying use federation root. And this confused me to no end, because I've spent hours teaching people that you can't do use in Azure, and now they come up with a different use for the use verb. So the use verb is actually a way to go from one federation member to another. And this one just goes back to the root, use federation root with reset. Somehow with reset has to be put in every time. Sometime in the future you may not have to reset it. And don't exactly ask me what you're resetting at this point. Right, but you have to put with reset in there because it's part of the DDL. Okay, so we're going to use the federation root, which is really the only database we have. And so far, since I've created that federation, let me see what we have here. There's my federated database. And if we click underneath this, we still only have 1 federated database. And if I'm in the federation root over here, we don't have any federation members yet. So we only have the 1 database. We haven't split it yet. So I'm going to just select the database name and ID, just so that you can see that it's still my real database and what the ID is. Sys Federations has metadata about the federation. There we go. Sys Federations distribution actually has what key ranges are in which federation members. And since there is only 1 key range right now, the boundary value in the highest federation is just 1. So there's no real federation stuff yet. And member distributions, that should tell you that the entire key range, there we go. So the range low is minus whatever the biggest bigint you can have, and range high is null. I always thought it was strange to have range high as null rather than range high as the biggest number you can have, but they said that that was an easy way if you were going through federation members 1 at a time to know that you've got to the last one. okay, maybe so. So all I still have is one database. Select star from sys databases doesn't do anything interesting either. So let's make a federated database, he said. Okay, we got federation scheme over here. I don't know why it is, but when I'm in Azure, the mouse doesn't seem to move as smoothly. And federation ranges are no big deal here. There we go. So we'll create a federated table. Now, the first thing I want to do is I want to connect to a federation member, any of them. And what I have to do to connect to a federation member is give it the value of the federation key. Now, I don't have any, sorry, let's just, there we go. Nope, try again, Bob. I don't have any tables in there yet. So federation key equals zero is just as good as any other federation key. I'm just connecting to a federation member that isn't there yet. So that's fine, and we'll connect to one with reset as required. Filtering equals off has to do with the fact that if I connect to a federation member with customer ID zero and I have filtering on, the only row that I can see is the row for customer ID zero. And if I have filtering off, then I can see everybody in that federation member. So we'll connect to one here. There we go. And is it the connection that causes the federation to be made? Notice the first connection is pretty big. Let's see if that's true. Yep, notice that now up there we have two databases. So the first time you actually connect to any federation with a real key value, even if it was zero, even if we don't have any tables there, what it actually did behind the scenes, which is why this took so long, is it made another database for me. So now I have two databases. If you're counting, I'm 62 cents times two right now. So two databases, one for the federation root and one for the only one and only federation member right now. So, and that's the second database right there. And it tells me that the CID equals low to high, which means there's really only one federation member right now. Everybody okay with that so far? So let's make some federated tables. And remember that the point of making the federated tables is that we actually have to use the federation key for each of these tables. So the customer table, well, that'll be pretty easy. And the only thing that you have to add to the DDL is federated on CID. CID is your federation key. And the CID corresponds to, in this table, the customer ID. Notice the customer ID in this table is part of the, where is it? Part of the primary key, part of the clustered index, part of the primary key. So therefore, it suits the federation just fine. And we'll create this table. There's customer. And there we go. I think this was just, script was made up by a scripter, so that's why it's got all the set options in there. And then we'll put in another one called customer address. And notice there's the customer ID and the customer address row, I'm sorry, table. And we can say, again, federated on CID equals customer ID. Notice they don't have to be called CID in every table. And they could be called customer ID in one table and cust ID in another table, and they don't care. Just as long as you tell it which one lines up with the federation key. So at this point, he said, come on, there we go. Okay, so now I have two federated tables. In fact, if I had more than one federation member right now, I'd have a copy in each federation member. It would make a copy in each. And right now I have two empty tables, so we got to put some data in here. And hopefully I don't mess up with the mouse here. There we go. There's a bunch of data that we can put in both tables. I'm trying to be really careful. He said, gracious. Is that enough? Okay. Scroll down to here. And come on, there's that much data? 32,000 something rows, one row at a time. There we go. All right, so, oops. There. Like I said, somehow the scroll bar action isn't really that good when we're working with federations. Go. By the way, here's the reason why, while this is running. The reason why is that this is RC0 of SQL Server 2012, and SSMS in RC0 has a bug that anytime the focus changes between any of the gadgets in SSMS, that basically what happens is it issues a thing, a query to see if it has any new federations. I found this bug when I was actually looking in the, thought it went pretty slow, right? And I found this bug when I was actually looking in the trace as it was going along, and it's like, what's this federation thing that's coming up all the time? And not only that, it's doing IntelliSense at the same time too, queries for IntelliSense. So anyway, it gets fairly slow. That's hopefully fixed by RTM. And so we should have processed all our rows by now. And now we have a federation with a bunch of rows. Eh, it's still working on it? No, it's done. Okay, good. So now what we'll do is we'll go back to the federation root. And the first and oddest thing that I noticed was we have a federation root. It seems like you should be able to go into the federation root and get all the rows. Doesn't it seem like that? Seem like that to me. So I go to the federation root, and the first thing I do is say select star from customer within the federation root. And it says to me, I don't know what the customer table is. And it's like, well, you've got the federation definition in you, and there's a customer table that can be in one or more nodes, but it's not in your node, right? There is really no way to get all the customers if you have more than one node. You have to go off to node number one and get customers over there and go off to node number two and get customers over here. I thought it would be really cool from the federation root to be able to just do a select star and get all the customers. That doesn't happen. In fact, when I said that to the federation guys, they go, oh, you want scale out queries, you know? And they said, yeah, I want to be able to select the whole table. Oh no, we can't have those. You know, you need to program that with MapReduce. And it's like, really? Okay. And of course, all this stuff is still the same, right? Because I haven't changed anything yet. And life is good, right? It's all the same thing, and I'm in a real database at this point. But let's go to the one and only federation member and look over there. So we're going to connect to federation member with CID number 100, which is as good as any other number, even if I don't have a customer number 100, because all he uses is just uses the ranges to figure out which member to connect to. And remember, at this point in history, I only have the one member anyway. So he's going to connect to the one federation member. And when you look at now what the database name is over here, the database name is some weird GUID, right? So that's the database name of the federation database. And this is why there's this sort of bug right now in SSMS, is they look for databases with GUID-like names, and they hide them from the SSMS gadgets. So I don't believe you see them over here, there. They don't show up in your database list in Object Explorer, even if I do a refresh. But if you've noticed in SSMS, there is a nice folder down there that actually says federations at the very bottom. And so you can actually look in the federation folder. Since they know this is a federation root, they're guessing every time the focus changes. And there's the customer federation right there. So they've actually programmed this into SSMS. By the way, I am going to go to the Azure portal too and show you this eventually. But it turns out the Azure portal page that seems to do federations doesn't seem to be working for me this morning. Just funny, I talked to the guy that was working on this page on Sunday. He goes, I just got a new job. I'm working on the federation pages on the Azure portal. And it's like, dude, that's really slow. You're going to fix that, right? Probably not what he wanted to hear when he got a new job. Okay, but anyway. So these all pretty much look the same, right? There's only one federated member distribution. And is everybody happy with that so far, right? There's only so much you can do with one. So let's split it. Okay, so the time comes in the day where I actually have too many rows in there. And in fact, I can query the customer table from the federation member. And let's just see how many. I think it's 100 and something customers. Yeah, 600. So 800. 847 customers. Okay, fine. So 847 is apparently too much. And I want to go over and get more space for my customers. By the way, one of the other irritating things about Azure is when you run out of space, it just gives you an error message. And what are you supposed to do when you get that error message? Oh, and by the way, I'm not trying to plug Azure, but I'm also not trying to push Azure as well. Right? I don't work for Microsoft. There's a guy that does that, right? That goes around and push Azure. I'm not with that guy. So anyway. What happens when you run out of space is basically it says, delete some rows. It may take a few minutes to be able to insert new rows again. It's like, really? Oh, well. Never mind. So we'll go back to the federation root. Now, this has to be done from the federation root. And as soon as we get back there we go. We're going to alter the federation split at CID equals 100. So basically now it's going to split the federation into two, and all the customer ID 100, it's going to go up over there, and all the customer IDs over 100 is going to go into another federation member, and that's what the split does. The idea is that this type of feature is used a lot in NoSQL, apparently, and a lot of things like Facebook, because you figure if you have Facebook, all you're really worried about is you and your friends, and it doesn't matter if some of your friends are on one federation member or another federation member, they'll just go and get all your friends one at a time. And that's why if you ever look at Facebook or Twitter or any of those type of social applications, the friends and stuff just seem to drift in over time because they're basically querying all the servers that might have friends on them, and then they come in as they come in. So now that we have split that, or are we going to split that? We haven't split that yet because what I want to show you is what happens when you split it. Okay, go. So in theory, you should be able to query it while you're splitting it. But it turns out that that doesn't necessarily work the same way that I thought it would work. There we go. And so we're in the middle of a split operation here. This thing was select from sysdm federation operations, and you see that we're in the middle of an alter federation split before. You should be able to connect while you're splitting. You may not have the right rows some of the times, but you should be able to connect while you're splitting. But the problem with connecting while you're splitting, at least with me, is I've never been able to do it. Once I'm in the middle of a split, trying to connect to one side just times out, which is not the way it should work, but that's I've reported that to the appropriate people. So once this split is over, this should be gone. It should be pretty quick. Okay, he's still working on it. Oh, see how long a repartitioning has been active. Okay. Percent complete is still sitting at zero, which is lovely. 47 seconds. I can talk real slow. Maybe it'll run faster. Go. All right, so it's done. Good for me, right? Hopefully that wasn't a big glitch in your day because you split the federation because you had too much traffic. It's like, that better work. Okay. So are there any repartitioning errors? Somehow there could be repartitioning errors. I've never seen one. But those are the two metadata tables that'll show what repartitioning errors there are. Okay. So now let's go out and query the federation members again. And again, from the root, it's pretty obvious that there's really nothing to see here, right? Sys federations is going to be the same. There is only one. And federation member distributions, oh, well, now there'll be two. There we go, two federation members. And notice that the top one has range low, the smallest number you can have, to 100, and the other one has 100 to null. So we basically just split the things in half, or maybe not half. I don't know if there was actually more above or below 100. And over here, if we connect to the federation member with number 100 in it, and I believe the 100 is inclusive, so we're actually connecting to the top one over here, we'll see that that's a different GUID as there was before. So there's the different GUID. And federation member distributions are different. And by the way, you can see all the federation member metadata from any federation member itself. So notice it knows about itself over here, range 100 to high. But if I actually go out and select them all and join them, it should be able to see the other one as well. Let me just make sure that that's right. There we go. There's the federation ranges. Nope, I only have one, only mine. Okay, high to on. I lied. Okay. And then here's the table count of user tables that are actually federated tables. There we go. So remember the customer table had 800 and something rows, so we didn't really divide it equally, but it does have now 784 rows, and the other one has 417 rows. So we basically divided all those tables. So now it sort of becomes more obvious what the question is about, well, where do you put the products table now? And in fact, if we do a query like that, like select star from customer, no, you're not going to do that? Well, let's go do that. That's no fun. Can you just type, Bob, that the thing is sort of, yeah, I know. Oh, come on. There. Put it in the right place, right? Customer or single. And we're in the federation member with number 100 in it. So notice that our federation thing started 100. And if we were to go over to the other one and switch back over to, there we go, the one with CID number 0, we'll just use this one, we should see all the ones at the bottom. He's thinking about it now. There we go. This isn't too bad considering the data center is in the middle of the US, but there we are. Great. So now we got all the low-numbered ones. Okay? Voila. Right? That's really all the magic there is in federations. But then, of course, a demo like this sort of brings up more questions than it answers, which is, well, how do we design around this? Because now we have two tables. The two tables can't talk to each other. We can't even do a join between the two tables because in SQL Azure, there are no supported linked servers to SQL Azure. Right? The obvious way to do it, since you can't talk between two databases in SQL Azure, I can't do a two-database query a query with a three-part name. It's forbidden. So if I can't talk between two databases, it would be nice to have a link server to each database and do two queries and put them in a temp table. But the problem is right now, you can't have a supported link server to a SQL Azure database. So now how do you get a list of all the people, right? And when I said this to the Federation guy, he sort of looked at me like I was from Mars, right? And he goes, why would you want a list of all the customers in Amazon? You would want only your customer data. And it's like, yes, I guess so, but I'm sure there's somebody at Amazon that wants a list of everybody. How does that person get the list of everybody, right? Or why would you want a list of someone else's Facebook friends? It's like, yeah, I guess I get the use case for it. But, you know, to me, to not be able to do a select star from some table is really strange, right? So how would you do that? Okay, well, that's where I'm going after this. Does everybody get this part of it? Okay, fairly slow demo, I'm sorry. We'll also do, demo with programming as well. So as you can see, a federation is just a database object. You can look at it in sysfederations. You can see it from the root. You can see it from any of the members. And there can be multiple federations in the database. One of the ways to handle the products table is to have the products table in every federation member. And if the entire products table is in every federation member, then it's called a reference table. Another way to handle it is to have a products federation that lives someplace else. If your product catalog is so big, or if only certain people buy certain products, then you can have the products federation be in its own federation. So there can be multiple federations in a database. And there's actually somebody that's gone, and I want to see how far he got with this, that supposedly redesigned the entire AdventureWorks database to use federations. Somehow I sort of doubt the word entire, right? I bet he's got an interesting subset of the tables, and because I actually tried to do that the first thing I had a chance. It's like, nah, it's not going to work. Okay, so federation root is the database that contains the federation metadata. That's all it is. It's the one that contains the object. And it doesn't contain, notice we couldn't get to any of the tables through the federation root. The federation root has no knowledge of the tables. All it has is a knowledge of the federation key and the ranges. And there's metadata in there. And when you connect, applications connect to the federation root. And then what you do, notice if we were to just go back here now, and we're totally disconnected from everything and we want to connect up again, how we would connect up is we'd connect to the federation root, myfeddb, and then from here, we'd issue a use statement to get to the right federation member. Or if all we wanted was metadata, we'd be there already, right? So the idea, the concept with this is connect and then do a use to wherever you want. So we can use up to the root, we're actually in the root, or we could use up to CID number 100 or CID number 1000 or whatever, right? Everybody okay with that? The odd part is trying to do this in entity framework. It's like, because entity framework has no built-in way to issue a use statement. And so, you know, you have to go get the real database connection and remember all your ADO.NET stuff that you supposedly forgot. All right. So federation key, every federation member has a single key for partitioning the data, and it has to be a single key, and it has to be one of the supported data types. And then all of the data that's connected to that federation key. So remember, we had customer and customer addresses. All the data for customer number one, which would be the customer number one customer row and the customer one address row, and maybe any customer one order rows, all that is called the atomic unit, right? The atomic unit, if you think of Facebook, the atomic unit is you, right? When you log into Facebook, that's your atomic unit, and they just go get everybody that's related to you, right? So atomic unit number five, or whoever you are, right? And all the data for the value of that federation key. So that's the good, interesting thing about filtering equals on, right? If you say filtering equals on and connect to federation ID number 100, let's do that just for fun. As soon as I can find one of these, I should just type. Can you type? Okay, with reset filtering equals on. So if I say filtering equals on, all I'm ever going to see in this database is the rows for customer ID number 100. All I have to do then is a select star from tables, and I've got everything that I want. Do a join, and I've got all the things that I want just from customer number one. So if we were to go select from customer now, hopefully I have a customer number 100. There he is. Otherwise, I won't see him, right? So that's the way to filter to a single atomic unit. And apparently, like I said, in applications like Facebook or something, that's useful to do, or Amazon. Supposedly Amazon does this too. They don't obviously use SQL Azure federations in Amazon, but they use a similar concept, right? Okay. So designing for federation. So you can imagine the design is not going to be a typical database design. But if you have ever designed for data-directed routing in the past, this is the way you would have designed for data-directed routing as well. In fact, that's, I think, the real reason why data-directed routing didn't catch on as well is because everybody was all fifth normal form at that point, and nobody was willing to loosen up at all to accommodate this scale-out capability. So now people are more, especially with the NoSQL people coming on, more likely to want to, you know, go along with this paradigm. So the premise is, at least the way, this is what I call them, you have three different types of tables. And the first type of table is called the entity tables. And the entity tables are the only ones that are federated. So in our little example here, the entity tables would be the customer table and the customer address table. And they're all federated. They're all federated by the same federation key. And again, that federated key must be part of the primary key, and you define it as part of the create table DDL. But what do I do with the products? So if I have a small set of products, I can put the set of products in every federation member. And this is called reference tables. So if I go into a federation member and I say create table, well, let's do it. Right? If I go into a federation member and I say create table products, which I won't do, but I'll do create table foo. So I'm in federation number 100, and we'll do a create table products, well, foo, okay, with ID that's an int, that's an identity column, that's the primary key. By the way, with the federation members, you might have noticed that we weren't using identity columns. You are not allowed to use an identity column with the federation at all. They're just not allowed. You're supposed to assign the federation key in the client side, or the middle tier side. And the reason why is, how would they do a federated identity column? Right? And I said, well, couldn't we have the identity column be in the federation root? And somebody thought about that for a second and said, no. And I didn't answer, I didn't ask why. Instead, I said, could you use a sequence? And they said, no, the sequence should be in the program. Okay, fine. So if we do this, just create a regular old table, and it doesn't refer to the federation key at all. There we go. Then we got a table called foo. That's great. So the foo table will actually appear in every federation member. In fact, let's just see if it's in the other federation members now, because else I'm lying, right? It certainly will appear every time that you split one, but I already have a split. So we'll see if it actually appears in the other federation member right now. So we're connecting to CID number 0 with filtering on. And let's see if we can do a, he's thinking about it. There we go. Let's see if we can do a select star from foo from here. I think you may have to populate these the first time if you already have a split. Nope, I don't know who foo is. So if you do have a split, you have to actually define it in every federation member. But when we do another split, it will actually show up in the third federation member by itself. So you ready for the next question? The next question somebody would ask, which I did, was, that's nice, how do you keep foo in sync between all the federation members? And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what if I have to add a row to foo? Do I have to add it to all three of them? And they said, yes. And it's like, really? I said, couldn't we use something like sync services? That sync services thing sounds really good now. Maybe we could use the sync services. And they go, sync services doesn't support federations yet. And it's like, oh, just take away all my tools then. Go ahead. Right? You know, at this point, I was getting fairly irritated. It's an interesting idea, though, right? The idea of being able to do MapReduce queries against a big data set was intriguing to me about a week ago, right, when I had to do that spatial problem. But it makes up other problems that you're not used to in dealing with the data. So you can have a reference table. When you do a split, it gets popular, or it gets moved over to the new split member, a whole copy of it, you know, not just the definition, but the rows and all. But if you already have a split federation, you have to initially define that in both of the members. Notice we didn't see it over here. We'll have to define it over here now. And we'll do another split just for fun, because I can waste another 62 cents. There we go. There's, oh. Really? Make me lie. So it knew that by itself? I don't believe you. So where are we? We're in MyFedDB. We're not in any federation members. I thought we were in a federation member, Bob. Was I? Okay. Did it drop back to something by itself? All right, so we'll connect to this one. I know it doesn't synchronize by itself because I've tried that, unless they just fixed that this week. okay, there's an invalid object named foo. I'm not sure where it thought foo was. We'll connect back to 100 here. Now you're going to completely confuse them, dude. There we go. Okay, so if we connect up to 100 over here, it should be over here. Okay. Now it's not anywhere. Did I put it in the root? Maybe I put it in the root. All right, so we'll make one. So I'm in the 100 one, right? You saw that. I'm in the CID 100 one, and I'm going to make a table called foo here. There's table DDL in non-temporary tables is not supported on a filtered connection. Oh, filtering equals on. All right, smart. There we go. So we'll do this with filtering equals off. Show too many things at the same time. And let's make sure we don't have a foo over here yet. Okay, foo's not over here, so we'll define him over here. The construct, identity is not supported in a federated database at all. Lovely, okay. I thought you could at least use them in reference tables. Wrong-o, Bob. There we go. Okay, so now we'll connect to the other side where we shouldn't see foo, he said. Just make a liar out of me again. Go ahead. Okay, so we've connected over to 0 with filtering equals off. Select star from foo says no. All right, so we'll define one over here. There. Okay, now what I want to do is another split. So we've got it in the 0 partition. We've got it in the 100 partition. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to split it again at 50 just to make sure I get the split DDL right. I'm not going to trust myself. There it is. Alter federation, split at CID equals, in fact, we'll do CID equals 500. So I know we got people that are higher than 500 over here. Good. So once we're done with this, we should have 3 federation members. And just for the fun of it, as this is, alter federation split is not supported on a federation member, right? You have to split from the root. Okay. So let's split from the root. Does this look confusing? Especially because I really am supposed to know what I'm doing, right? There we go. Okay. Remember, all of these splits is a really big heuristic decision, right? And you actually program this to do it automatically. And so what I'm going to try and do while it's splitting is I'm going to try and connect to a specific federation member, if I can get to one soon enough. There we go. And show you that at least the last time I did this, the federation member timed out. Notice it's trying to connect. Oh, and it did. It's either very fast or it's already done. So now let's connect to CID number, did I say 1,000? So 600. When we go to 600, the foo table should already be there. There we go. So now we're at 600. Since we already had a foo table before, now let's just do, can you type select star from foo? Yes, I can. But notice I hit enter 3 times and the cursor didn't move at all. It's doing federations now. There we go. All right, now that I've completely hosed it, we're going to go back to the slides for a second. No, we're not. Here it goes. I almost asked him if I could actually use a different build for SSMS. Because, again, remember that if you're doing this at home, the bug in RC0 SSMS is that every time the focus changes between one of the gadgets in the, sorry, one of the controls in the window, they're going to go out and do a query for federations. I'm going to be really careful with this. There we go. All right. So now that we're connected to the right member, and you can see we are up here, or some member, then we'll do a select star from foo, and wherever we are, there should be a foo table. There we go. Okay, so we're in the middle of a split still. That's their way of telling you you're in the middle of a split. I think that's a bug. Are we ready now, guys? Invalid object name foo. Anyway, it is supposed to split, and I'm not sure, maybe it's not finished splitting right now. Oh, notice it thinks I'm actually connected to master. Let's try this again, because now we lost our connection. So we'll go to MyFedDB. The ticket company really is using this, by the way. They're much better at it than I am. Okay, now we'll go to SID 600. Come on. He's thinking about it. All right, now we should have a foo table. No, unless they haven't finished splitting yet. Yep, there it is. Okay. That was painful. All right. So the premise with this is there's 3 kinds of tables. There's entity tables. Those are the ones that split on the federation key. You'll have a part of them in every Federation member, a third or a fourth or however many you want. There's reference tables, and reference tables appear in every Federation member. If you split a Federation, it will split the table over to the next one. It'll just copy the whole table over. But remember, right now, there is no way to keep a table in sync that's a reference table automatically. They'll split them automatically, and all the rows will be there. But if you add a row over here, you have to add a row over here. And yeah, they're working on that. And then there's a bunch of tables that you call central tables or global tables. Those conceivably could be in the Federation root or another database. You don't care, but they're not in the Federation members. So if you have a table that's not can't be federated by the Federation key, I said Federation too many times, then they can either be a global table or a reference table. Everybody okay with that? And this makes for a more denormalized design than you're used to. So creating the Federation, we did all this stuff already, right? Remember that you have to have a Federation key. These are the four data types that can be the Federation key: int, bigint, unique identifier, and var binary. Var binary up to 900, and I did ask at one point why they allow var binary. I think it was for things that didn't fit one of those patterns, and you can cast anything to var binary. So if you wanted to use some kind of string of characters or something like that, you could. You just have to define it as var binary. Distribution type, currently only range is supported. Probably the next one coming up will be hash, but right now only range is. Creating the Federation creates the first member. We saw that. Remember when we created the Federation and we put tables in there, it actually created the first member. Now, this is a big deal because you're paying by the gigabyte here. Suppose I have a 10 gigabyte database and I create a Federation. That means I have two 10 gigabyte databases. Am I paying for two 10 gigabyte databases? You have to remember that in Azure, you're not paying for the entire database. You're paying for how much data is in that database. So if I have a 10 gigabyte database with 8 gigabytes worth of data in it, I'm paying for 8, not paying for 10. If I split it into two, and each of those two has 4 gigabytes worth of data in it, I'm still paying for 8. I'm not paying for any more because they have, you know, multiple databases. Anybody want to ask the obvious question here? Just because it seems like I've been doing a lot of talking. The obvious question to me, let me ask my own question then. The obvious question to me was, can I make the federated members different sizes? And they said, why would you want to do that? And I said, I guess that means the answer is no then. And he said, yeah, it's no. He goes, but why would you want to do that? I said, well, suppose I actually had a 3.5 million row spatial table, but the big spatial features I wanted in one federated member, there's 32,000 of them, and the other 3 something million I want in this federation member, so I would want one to be bigger than the other. He said, just make them the same big size. You only pay for the data that you actually use, and it's like, okay, I guess that's a good cop-out, right? So all members are the same size. Charges are based on the amount of the data. Each split creates another member. So when we split it the third time, now we actually have three federation members. We don't have four or something like that, right? They're not going to be exponential. All right, programming federations. So you've seen this before. You've watched me struggle with it, right? Connect to the federation root and then issue a use federation statement to get to the right member. Now, somebody, some bright person, saw this and said, well, this is obviously the big hang-up of the whole thing. Every time I have to go and connect to the root, and then from the root I have to connect to the member, and so the root is going to end up being the bottleneck of the whole thing. And he would have been right, but they didn't tell you the way they implemented it. So when somebody came up with that, they said, well, you know, really, a lot of the Azure stuff doesn't happen in any database. It happens in the gateway. So the idea with Azure, have you seen the Azure big slide with the picture on it? Right? The Azure big slide with the picture on it, well, 25 minutes? Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. The Azure slide with the big picture on it basically shows a gateway, and it shows a gateway pushing back to lots of little machines, and your machines can be anywhere. And so DDL, like the create database DDL statement, happens in the gateway. The connect to a database happens in the gateway. So when you say connect to database MyFedDB and then use, if it's a federated database, they don't connect to the database until you say use. And all that stuff happens in the gateway. So it's not the federation root that is the bottleneck. If anything, it's the gateway that's the bottleneck. But the gateway has been doing this stuff all the time anyway. So it's not really a bottleneck at all. Everybody okay with that? We don't have to have two connections for every one. Yes, sir? If you use the global table? Right, so you connect to that database, and you can actually say use Federation root if you want to. Or you can... Right. 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 Right, that's going to be a bottleneck, because that's still going to be in one place. Hopefully those little tables are going to be small, or those central tables are going to be small. They're going to be like the tables that say number one equates to A and number two equates to B, and probably those type of tables, lookup tables, as those central tables. But yeah, otherwise it could become a bottleneck. And then you just want to figure, if it's becoming a bottleneck, do you want another federation or not? You know, you could have multiple federations, and that would work out okay too. By the way, if you have two federations, so a customer federation and a product federation, and each of those federations have three members, you can't put the same federation in the same exact member as the other federation. Right? Everybody okay with that? You don't have three databases, you have six, if that's the case. Okay. But yeah, if you had a great big table as a global table, then it could be just as much of a bottleneck as anything else. Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, somebody, me, decided that they should use this global table to allocate numbers. Right, like identity field numbers for the keys. And somebody said, no, you don't really want to do that. Okay, fine, I won't do that then. So use federation, and you name the federation name, and you name the key value, and they just know which database to go to. Filtering option is either off or on. We've seen both. Notice that there are some things we couldn't do with on, like I stumbled over when I was doing the demo. And with connection reset or with reset is required for now. So there's scalability questions about, oh, I just did this one. And again, this is because it happens in the gateway. Fine, we're done. By the way, somebody asked too, just recently, what happens if I have connection pooling? Because connection pooling is on a per database basis. And if all these different federation members are their own databases, that means I'm going to have a really fragmented multiple connection pool deal here. And they said, no. The connection pool is actually tied to the database. As far as the gateway is concerned, the database is always the federation root. So you can use the same connection pool member, connect to the root, and then connect from there to a different database, a different federation member. So you only have one connection pool. You don't want to have multiple connection pools, one for every place you're eventually connecting to. Okay. So creating federated tables. The only big deal about federated tables is that you say CID equals and whatever the federation key corresponds to. You've seen this one already. Everybody okay with this? Good. Programming differences. So the big programming differences are there is no select star from queries. Those select star from queries, they use a NoSQL term for this, are called fan-out queries. And so when I said, how do I do select star from? They go, oh, that's a fan-out query. It's like, okay, so I say issue it with fan-out. And they go, no. You program it in your own application. And I said, what? Yes, you program it in your own application and do select star from, and I'll show you an application. What you have to do is you have to go through that metadata table, figure out what all the federations are, connect to each one, one by one, and then read them one by one. You can choose to do this in parallel or in serial. If you want to be fast, you'll do it in parallel. So, of course, none of the examples they have right now for federations do it in parallel. They all do it serially, you know. Which I thought was really strange, but there you go. And again, the best way to do this, I would think, would be to have a linked server to all the different federation members and then query those federation members one at a time. Put those in a temporary table and we're all set. But until we have a linked server to Azure, we can't do that. By the way, you can make a linked server to Azure, it's just not supported. You use the OLADB provider for ODBC because you probably know this, but one of the things about Azure is it does not support OLADB. And since linked servers use OLADB, that's kind of hard, right? So use the OLADB provider to ODBC. As soon as they can figure out how it's supported, and as soon as they can figure out how to have Azure have a linked server to Azure, then they'll be able to do this fan-out query stuff. By the way, this is the number one ask for federations, obviously, is to be able to do fan-out queries. And somebody goes, oh, that's good. That gives me a chance to exercise my MapReduce code. Good. You get out your F-sharp compiler. And do map reduce, right? Because F-sharp is the cool language that does have a map and reduce function built into it. So get out your F-sharp compiler and make up a map reduce and post it up and you'll be a hero, right, to all of these people. By the way, there is a guy named Herv somebody that has his own sharding mechanism called Herv shards or something. And he actually has map reduce queries already. So it's actually better than if you buy it from the, never mind, the Azure group. So you also can't use distributed transactions, right? And you can't use transactions, a transaction that spans database to Azure would be a distributed transaction. So you can't insert into multiple members at the same time either within the same transaction. So if I wanted to, for some reason, put in a customer and a customer address, and then I wanted to put an order over here, and order is in a different federation, I can't do that within a single transaction. But that's okay, that's the NoSQL way, right? We have to have eventual consistency, and that's all we get. Fine, right? Assigning the federation key must be application managed, and identity and sequence, although Azure doesn't have sequence yet. Identity and sequence are going to be disallowed on all federation members. You saw that. I couldn't even put it in the reference table, right? Couldn't use the identity in the reference table. And federation keys are supposed to be immutable. In other words, you don't change the federation key. If you choose to change the federation key, you do a delete on the old row and an insert on the new row. You never update the thing, unless you're going to update one of the other fields, but you don't update the keys. Okay. So fanout with ADO.net. When they showed this, it's like, really? Yeah, really. The way you would do fanout in ADO.net is ADO.net has a component that we've all forgotten about called the data set. Right? I'm sure there's somebody that hasn't forgotten about the data set. But the idea is that you can connect to every federation member and then draw those rows into the data set, and then you can use that to display the entire set if you'd like to do that. Now, the fun part about that is that works just hunky-dory fine for select star from. Tell me how to do average. Right? I don't want to do average, and I don't want to average of the averages, right? I don't want to average of this guy and average of this guy. I want to average of all of them. How do I do average? Well, that's MapReduce, right? Well, how do you do that? Well, with the data set, you would get all the rows into the data set, and then you would issue, are you ready for this? A link to data set query to get the average. It's a good thing we had link, right? A link to data set query to do the average. And conceivably, you could issue an entity framework query against the entity framework cache to be able to get the average that way, too. So that's the map and reduce part, right? The map part is get all the rows into my data set. The reduce part is, okay, now do the average. And conceivably, I think there might be expressions on some of the data set members, too. I'm not sure if average is one of them. So once you've got everything in, you could actually get the average with an expression. So you can either use expressions or you can use link to data set. I've actually started to try and relearn my link to data set stuff so I can do this. So again, with MapReduce, if you consider this to be MapReduce, which it really is, the map step is iterate through the federation members manually using the metadata until the high value is null, so one row at a time, or one member at a time. Fill in the data set's data table with each set of values into the same table, which you can do. And for the reduce step, and you only need the reduce if you're going to be doing something like average, then use link to data set, data column expression, or data table.compute. And that stuff is the best we have to offer right now for fanout. So let's actually do a fanout example. This is not my fanout example, but it is the canonical fanout example, just so that you know that I got this one off the books online or something, whatever it was. Okay, and this is a Windows form example of federated form, and this is supposed to work with this thing that we have here now. So I'm not going to show you the code where they actually go through the metadata. That's kind of obvious, right? They just basically make a data reader and go through the metadata one row at a time. But it actually doesn't look that bad once they've got it. And notice they actually have a section in here called fanout query, where they'll just go through the metadata and they'll go one member at a time and go for it. So eventually when this comes up, are you ready now? Good. It turns out that SSMS does slow everything down to NRC 0. There we go. I'm just going to run this. There we go. So we have the nice Windows form that nobody but me can see. And so we want the federated key equals 100, filtering equals on, and we can connect this way and actually get metadata or get customers or cleanup. So we'll get customers from here, and we're actually going to connect to federation key number 100, and it should be connecting right now, he said. Come on. I can see my light flickering on my virtual machine. I can hum, really. Of course, if you saw Gert's big data demo yesterday, did he do a big data demo? It's like you submit the job and then you wait for the rows to come back when eventually they ever come back, right? Which is what it looks like when I'm on Twitter. What did this do? All right, just to make sure, customers, oh, did I have to hit the word query, Bob? Yeah, that's true. There we go, there's customers. All right, so I'm in CID number 100 and I got customers. Notice for some reason the person that made up this data doesn't give any low-numbered customers an address. apparently those are all the homeless people. They live in their own federation, right? There's the federation for 600, and then I can do the same query against it. And it'll go and it'll get all the things above 600 and all the addresses that go along with 600. And then what I can do is I can say I'd like a fan-out query. Let's first of all get the last federation here. So we'll have customer idea number one do the query. Good. And I know what I should have done on this. It would have been really cool with 14 minutes left to go. He isn't going to do it. Is to put on my ADO.net trace, right, and watch the thing trace through ADO.net. Everybody knows how to trace ADO.net? You do with event tracing for Windows? I wrote an article on it. You can go read the article. It's very cool, right? But anyway, I should have put it on the trace so you could just see it in the trace. All right, so here we are, fan out. We got customer number one right here. If I say fan out, we should get all three. Ooh. And I just went and did this so I could go through the code, but it's getting late. So voila. And you can tell we have addresses down there, and we can tell we have customers that are way higher than 100 or 600. So basically, that didn't look too bad, right? And again, if you're using one of these applications, you can just watch the rows sift in anyway. And you should really do this in parallel. The person that wrote this actually wrote it in serial. So, of course, we have serial federation. Everybody okay with that one? Okay. I can show you the ADO.net one, but then I'd have to give everybody aspirin after a while. Well, we'll do it anyway. Okay, I won't run the ADO.net one because it looks pretty much the same, but entity framework one. Okay, here's the entity framework one. It's the same form, but watch what you have to do. So what's wrong with entity framework? Well, what's wrong with entity framework is there is no SQL in entity framework. Okay, that's a good thing. But how do I issue the use statement in entity framework? Where are they going to build it into entity framework? Well, someday? Well, maybe someday. But how about now? Well, you go and you find the database connection, which is hard to do in entity framework, right off the DB context or something, and then you use that connection to issue the use, and then you're all set up and ready to go. It's like, but dude, I thought we were using entity framework so we could forget all about ADO.net. And it's like, nope, sorry, surprise. It doesn't work if you want to use an advanced feature. And so I just want to show you some of this code because it's fairly intricate. Let's just say intricate. What's this doing? Did I mess up something badly? This is the form, and I want to see the code. View code. Okay. There we go. And notice that, where is it? Oh, to connect to federations, EF federations, or let's see if this is, there we go. He's actually going to go and get the connection, and now he's doing execute store command off the connection. So basically, all the reason why we're using entity framework is gone. And by the way, if you do update multiple things within an entity framework set, and then you save them all, remember that they have to save to the same federation member. If they don't save to the same federation member, because they're just populating the entity framework cache, right? So it'll have some from all the federation members. They can't save to multiple federation members within the same transaction. So you have to turn transactions off. And to me, this is, I'm sorry, if you're an entity framework person, forgive me. This is more trouble than it's worth, okay? I'm sorry, I'll go back to ADO.net. I'm not gonna do that. All right. So there we are. Entity framework is not federation aware. That's a nice way to put it. And you have to issue the use federation manually, you get the object context connection and cast it to DB context, and then you can use it, right? Mars is not supported for federations, so I thought, oh, if I had Mars, I'd be okay. No, it's not supported. And of course, that means that anything that uses Mars and entity framework doesn't work in federations. So no lazy loading, no load property, none of that stuff works. Like I said, more trouble than it's worth. Am I gonna do that? Nah, I'm recovering from it. All right, so you've seen the split for federations, but how do you do the merge for federations? So the first spec I saw, this had split and it had merge, and I thought, oh, great. But when I tried to do merge, it said, I don't know what merge means. So I asked, and of course, merge isn't available yet. What merge would do is what? Well, if I have two federation members and I merge the two of them, then it'll put all of them in one and it'll get rid of one of the databases, great. So he goes, well, we don't have merge, but we have drop. And I said, what's drop do? And he goes, it drops one of the federation members and then merges the ranges together. I said, but what happened to the data? He goes, you have to back it up somewhere first. It's like, really? So you have to back it up somewhere first. Now it turns out that And I should make fun of it, right? But it turns out the guy that was doing it actually found, you've used Azure in earnest, right? So you've probably seen the SQL Azure Migration Wizard, right? It's the best thing in the world. SQL Azure Migration Wizard is something that can actually do bulk copy, but it's bulk copy that doesn't upset Azure's view of the world, right? In other words, Azure only lets you use so much resources with everything you submit to it. So if you submitted a big bulk copy, its potential is to run out of resources before the bulk copy is finished. So what George Huey, the guy at Microsoft that wrote the Azure Migration Wizard, did was that he bulk copies, but he bulk copies in sets of 1,000 or 5,000 or however much you want to bulk copy. So therefore, it never uses too much resources and never gets what they call throttled, because throttling is the hardest thing about programming in Azure. If you use too much of any resource, then they will throttle you, basically kill your connection and throw you back a throttling error, and you have to try it again, right? So you can imagine this just causing havoc with bulk copy. So you'd want to use Huey's Azure Migration Wizard because it does the right thing, right? Now, having said that, they also figured out that you could use Huey's Migration Wizard, George Huey, to take the data from the partition you're going to drop, the Federation member you're going to drop, take that data and copy it out to wherever, right? Copy it out to your Azure storage, and then drop it, and then push the data back in again. That's their equivalent right now of merge, right? Are you ready for that again? I'm not going to do that in front of you with 8 minutes left to go. But basically, you take the partition you're going to drop, you copy from that partition. Oh, because George also is the only tool that supports federations, right? Sync Services doesn't support it, right? SSMS does support it, but not as far as copying individual federation members like that. But his tool will actually go in, let you do a use, and then while you're in that database, you can do anything that you want. So you get ready to do it by figuring out which one is going to be gone, going with his tool, copy the things out of that one back to some Azure storage, then drop that one, which combines the ranges, then insert them all back in again. That's merge right now. And I says, so what about this merge? Is it like the number two ask thing? And he goes, well, now that you've said so, it is. So you sort of have to ask for what you want, right? And it's like either that or say something nasty like, I can't believe you don't have merge. And it's like, yeah, we're working on it. We wanted to make sure it got out. It's like, well, there's a limit, right? I'm not going to second guess anybody. So again, you can monitor these operations with SysDM federation operations. And inside of these operations, the operations are not guaranteed to be atomic. So if you do a split or a drop, it's possible you might read the same row twice if you actually query during the split, right? You might read the row over here, but it might have moved over there. And so if you're doing it asynchronously, you might read it twice. So one of the things to do is, if you don't even want to do that, monitor these things and don't do anything until the split is finished. The other thing is that you can't do a split if you already have a split in progress. So there's a guy that actually, when he gets up to a certain point, will split five times. And so rather than just trying to split five times in immediate succession and having them all fail, he splits, looks at the metadata, waits, splits again, looks at the metadata, waits until he's done. So that's the way you would do multiple splits. So again, it's not atomic, and you can't run, yep, just said that. So basically what you do is loop until this federation operation count is equal to zero. Okay. Drop behavior, well, I talked about that. Merge is coming in the future. Okay. So utilities. So here's the deal. I always just wanted the use statement. So tell me why I'm stupid. I want the use statement in the connection string. Right? That's all I want. Then I can connect with the connection string, and it'll use to whatever place I want to use, and anything that uses a connection string could use it, and they wouldn't have to have all this lovely tool support put in special for it. And the guy said, we can't put it in the connection string. And it's, why? That sounds like a really good idea. He said, but if you put it in the connection string, you'd fragment your connection pools. And it's like, okay, after a couple of days ago, I understand that statement, right? You don't want to fragment your connection pools, so you don't want to make it part of the connection string. I said, but why don't you fix the pooling code so if it catches that being different, it still puts it in the same connection pool? And he goes, yeah, we put in a feature change for the pooling code, Bob. It'll be done right away, you know? It's like, I don't know, I thought it was a good idea. I'm waiting for him to open source it, right, and go, you program it then. Go ahead. Right? The connection pooling code isn't that bad. So anyway, these are the utilities that it supports right now. So SQL Azure Portal supports all federation operations through the GUI, and as my last trick, I'll try and show you the Azure Portal. SQL Azure Federation Migration Wizard, which is the version of George Huey's tool that actually works with federations. And it's a tool that's on CodePlexes for free. It's probably the best support for federations you'll get. Now, Huey does work for Microsoft, George does, but there is no support specifically from Microsoft for that tool. You call up George in hopes he's not busy, you know, or you write mail to George and hope he's not busy. Federations are currently not supported by Azure Sync Service. So remember I said I wanted to sync the non-federated members? Can't do that. Azure Import and Export can't import or export individual federation members. It's like, that's awful. Can I import them or export them all through the root? Nope, can't do that either. Well, then what good is it? Well, use Huey's tool. And then SQL Server 2012 data tools, right, Gert's stuff. Gert's stuff is very interesting. It says, caution, caution, don't even think of using this if you're using federations. If you actually deploy with the data tools against a federated database, you will indeed ruin your database each time. There's not a way around it to do it. It's like, wow, that's good. I'm glad I have that, you know? All right, so for my last trick, and I got 3 minutes. Does anybody have any questions while I'm doing this? I'll show you the support in the portal for it. I'm surprised that everybody stayed this late. Thank you, guys. By the way, my next talk is better. Did I say that? That's being rude. All right, so here's my Azure portal again, and I go to my Cloud Essentials, whatever it is, thing that I have. Let's go back here again, and I'm not seeing the federated databases, which I'm not real happy about. Do I have to refresh it? No, I don't have to put it in compatibility view, but all right, there it refreshes, and that's going to refresh the whole thing. Well, I know who to call. There we go. So now I got me and my federated DB. But where's all my federation members? I don't see it there. Well, remember, the point is that they're supposed to hide them from you there. So if I do a click on the federated DB and choose manage, an entirely new set of functionality comes up, which hopefully will come up this time. It didn't come up the twice this morning I tried it, but I didn't have a federated member up there now either. Makes you sign on again. Come on, could you let me sign on? Oh, of course. It thinks my name is my password? No, there we go. Well, Charlie, you got your work cut out for you, dude. He's the guy that's going to work on this. Okay. This takes a long time to come up. And by this point, you're going, what was that SSMS tool again? That looked okay, you know? Because, and this is even at home. Right, I'm doing this at home in, oh, that's not bad. Okay, better than it worked at home. Oh, and now that it actually works, because they have a real federated database, this will actually work. It shouldn't require a federated database to actually work. But it gives you this nice thing of, you know, little database properties with pie charts. And notice how it's all laid out like, what do you call it, Metro application. So you can watch it on your cell phone. You know, yeah, I'm going to watch it on my cell phone right away. And for federations, you can actually click on this. Remember where it is, because on my little screen, it actually went off the side of the screen, and I was wondering where it was. And you'll see here that they're eventually going to fill in something with three federation members and what the federation member range is. And it should come up with how full these are. Here's the federation member key. Oh, and it's mostly all free space, that's all. And if it's over 90% full, then it'll tell you so that you can make a new federation member yourself. So, of course, I always come up with the questions nobody wants to answer, right? The question I wanted to answer to this is, all right, so this is configurable in PowerShell, right? I can program this out of PowerShell and just connect up through a web service and just program it myself, because what I want to do is monitor this, and when something gets up to be 90% full, issue an automatic split. No, not yet. Okay, so that's ask number three, right? Yeah, well, I guess so. If I'm the only one that's asking, I'm sure other people are asking for other stuff. Everybody okay with this? Yes, sir. You pay by the amount of space you use. So right now I'm using so little space that I'm actually paying for three empty databases. You do pay if you make an empty database. The empty database charge the last time I got charged for was 62 cents. So if I make an empty database, I get charged 62 cents. And the rest of it is by day, you pay for how much you maximally used for that day. So it's actually by the day. So if I go home and I right now delete all of this stuff, it probably cost me $1.80 something. Right, which I suppose I could do since they were nice enough to bring me out here and let me talk. Right, but I always, when I'm doing it in front of a class, I always go, you want me to copy? That's going to cost me another 62 cents. It's like, oh, shut up and copy it. So, but you're only paying for the data, and there's hardly any data in here, so I'm probably paying nothing. Maybe 63 cents for that data. Any other questions about this? You can actually do all the Federation DDL stuff in here if you like GUI, right? I'm not a GUI person. It supposedly is passé now to actually not do GUI in any talk, right? The rule is that if you do a talk that doesn't use GUI, you're stupid. So I guess I'm stupid. None of my talks use GUI. Oh, I did have a Windows form application. That's probably worse, right? Okay, so here's all the Federation catalog views, which we've already looked at one at a time. This is no big deal. And that's it. So are there any questions about federations? This is the first release of their scale-out functionality, which right now even the SQL Server database doesn't have. And by the way, I wrote the scale-out white paper for the SQL Server database. You want to know what it says about scale-out? It says the best way to do scale-out is to use data-dependent routing. And if you use data-dependent routing, you may have to re-architect your database. And it's like, yep, that's the same thing. And if you want to try playing with federations now, just put two tables in the same database and pretend they can't talk to each other. Right? That's basically what you're doing here. No questions? Well, thank you so much for attending. The next talk that I'm going to do is at 1 o'clock, and it's on, full-text search and semantic search. Unfortunately, I'm going to do that one in English because semantic search doesn't support Dutch yet. But that ought to be a fun one, too, if you guys are around. And like I said, thank you for showing up so early.